Give the world a smile each day.
Welcome to Words to Encourage, the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church of Grove City, Ohio. Everyone needs encouragement. We all need to be uplifted. With today's encouragement, here's our pastor, Stan Slater.
With a smile, a bright sunny smile.
Welcome to Words to Encourage. This is the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church. We're located in Grove City, Ohio, right on the southwest side of Columbus. And I'm Brother Slaybaugh. Well, good Tuesday to you. Hope you're having a great day today. As we mentioned yesterday, this is the day the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And we're looking forward to what the Lord has in store for us today. Well, we started talking about that yesterday. We started talking about be glad. Be glad. We took our verse from Psalm 9, and there's many, many other scriptures. I hope you'll go back and pick up the first part of that broadcast. This will be the second half of it, and pick that up and get the groundwork laid. The Bible says in Psalm 9 and verse 2, I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will be glad. And we talked yesterday about how we ought to be glad because of salvation. We ought to be glad because we have eternal life. We ought to be glad because our sins are forgiven. We ought to be glad because we're on our way to heaven. Hey, the best is yet to come, my friend. I'm a happy Christian. And then we ought to be glad because God's in control. Psalm 118, verse 24, this is the day the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. Not tomorrow, not when this happened. No, not today. Today's the day to rejoice. And then I want you to do number three. That is, be glad because he welcomes the backslider. He welcomes the backslider. I'm thinking of the prodigal, what we know as the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. And when he comes back home, he finally comes to himself. The Bible says in verse 32, the father says to his son, it was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. We ought to be glad that he reclaims the backslider. Before the boy has time to even get his words out, the father throws his arms around him and all but knocks him off his feet with tears and hugs and incredible laughter. My son is home. That's all that matters. Who cares why he's back? The old man doesn't do what almost any father under heaven would have done. He doesn't say, I hope you learned your lesson. He doesn't say, I told you so. He doesn't say he hopes he's finally ready to settle down for a while and find some way to make it up to his mother. He just says, hey, bring out the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his finger. Put sandals on his feet. Fetch the fatted calf. Slaughter it. We're celebrating with a feasting and a party tonight. My son, which was lost, is now found. When the boy finally manages to try to slip in his prepared remarks, the old man seems to not even hear him. He's so happy. All he can say is that my boy, what was dead, is alive again. My boy that was lost is now found. And then Jesus, as the teller of this parable said, they began to be merry. Now, we know the other son was not happy. He was not glad that the brother had come home. But he tells him it was meet. That means it was proper. It was right that we should make merry and be glad. But instead of being joyful and happy, he's jealous. The Bible reminds us in Proverbs 27, don't be glad when your enemy stumbles. My friend, let's rejoice when someone gets right with God. Let's rejoice when the backslider comes back. Let's rejoice. Let's not rejoice when they backslide. Let's not rejoice when they go away. And let's not be upset when they return. Let's be glad. Let's rejoice when the backslider comes back. And then the Bible, number four, let's be glad because God is merciful. God is merciful. And again, we go to the book of Psalms and Psalm 30. In fact, Psalm 31. Psalm 31 and verse 7 says, I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble, thou hast known my soul in adversity. And then again, over in Psalm 90 and verse number 14. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Mercy is that mildness or tenderness of heart which disposes a person to overlook injuries or treat an offender better than he deserves. It is said mercy is when we don't get what we deserve. Now, oftentimes mercy is referred to as not getting the punishment that we deserve. Children calling sometimes we used to play a game called mercy. You try to bend each other's hand over backwards, you know, until somebody says mercy and we stop. I read not too long ago that in the middle of the Great Depression, the New York City mayor, a fellow by the name of LaGuardia, you might have heard an airport named after him, he strived to live with the people. It was not unusual for him to ride with the firefighters, raid with the police, or take field trips with orphans. And it was a bitterly cold night in January of 1935, and the mayor turned up at night court that served the poorest ward of the city. LaGuardia dismissed the judge for the evening and took over the bench himself. Within a few minutes, a tattered old woman was brought before him, charged with stealing a loaf of bread. She told the mayor that her daughter's husband had left. Her daughter was sick, and her two grandchildren were starving. However, the shopkeeper from whom the bread was stolen refused to drop the charges. "It's a real bad neighborhood, Your Honor. She's got to be punished to teach other people around here a lesson." LaGuardia sighed. He turned to the woman and said, "I've got to punish you. The law makes no exceptions. $10 are 10 days in jail." But even as he pronounced sentence, the mayor was already reaching into his pocket. He extracted a bill and tossed it into his famous hat, saying, "Here is the $10 fine, which I now remit. And furthermore, I'm going to fine everyone in this courtroom 50 cents for living in a town where a person has to steal bread so that her grandchildren can eat. Mr. Bailiff, collect the fines and give them to the defendant." The following day, the New York City newspapers reported that $47.50 was turned over to a bewildered woman who had stolen a loaf of bread to feed her starving grandchildren. 50 cents of that amount was contributed by the store owner himself, while some 70 petty criminals, people with traffic violations, New York City policemen, each of whom had just paid 50 cents for the privilege of doing so, gave the mayor a standing ovation. Mercy. Micah tells us we're to love mercy. Matthew tells us, "Blessed are the merciful." Hebrews 4:16 says we're to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Grace is giving people what they don't deserve. How can I say, "I just can't be merciful"? Then go to the throne of grace and obtain mercy. You get it from God, and His mercy endureth forever. During the late 1800s, an English evangelist named Henry Morehouse made several trips to preach in America. On one of those occasions, he was taking a walk through a poor section of town, and he noticed a small boy coming out of a store with a pitcher of milk in his hands. Just then, he slipped and fell, breaking the pitcher and spilling the milk all over. Morehouse rushed to the child's side, found him unhurt but terrified. "My mama will whip me. My mama will whip me," he kept crying. So Morehouse picked up the boy and carried him into the nearby store, where he purchased a new pitcher. Then he returned to the dairy and had the pitcher washed and filled with milk. And with that done, he carried the boy and the pitcher home. Putting the youngster down on his front porch, Morehouse handed him the pitcher and asked, "Will your mama whip you now?" And a wide smile came across his face. He said, "No, sir, because this is a lot better pitcher than we had before." In grace, God saves us. He doesn't patch up our old life that's been shattered and soiled by sin and Satan. That won't do. His reputation's at stake. No, He makes us into a brand new picture. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Rejoice. Rejoice in His mercy. Be glad in His mercy. And then, lastly, I want to share, let's be glad, because one day we'll be with Jesus. One day we'll be with Jesus. Revelation 19 and verse number 7. The Bible says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready." Listen, the Lamb is Christ. The bride is the church. Every believer who's died believing and trusting in Jesus as our Savior since His resurrection So we have the bridegroom, and we have the bride, we have the wedding dress. And we have those invited to the wedding. The bride doesn't have to get invited to her own wedding. Neither is the groom. So the invited guests are those who went before the church, was who are not part of the bride, but who will be in heaven. I'm talking about Adam and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and David. They all died believing in the God of Israel. They're all friends of the bridegroom. They're not inferior to the church of Christ, but there's a special blessing for the church. We are his bride. Now, in ancient times, a marriage was the single greatest celebration and social event there was. Preparations were elaborate. In fact, they came in three stages. First, there was the betrothal, or the engagement. That was an arrangement set by both sets of parents. It was legally binding and could only be broken by a bill of divorcement. That's betrothal. That's where Joseph and Mary were when he found out she was going to have the Christ child. The second was the presentation, which was a time of celebration. Those festivities could last up to a week. And then third was the wedding ceremony. That's when they would exchange the vows. And the same imagery here pictures the Lord's relationship with his church. Verse 8 of Revelation 19 says that unto her was granted she'd be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. That fine linen the bride is clothed in has been made white by the blood of the Lamb. The righteousness was not ours. No, we had no righteousness until we received the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he gave us his righteousness. The songwriter said, I'll stand before the throne dressed in his righteousness alone. Not my own righteousness. All my righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. Oh, but I'm clothed in his righteousness. Jesus replaced those filthy rags of my own righteousness with his righteousness. And then so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a day, glorious day that will be. My friend, I'm going to be glad because I'm going to be with Jesus one day. Well, be glad, will you? Be glad for salvation. Be glad for his sovereignty. Be glad that a sinner is welcomed home. Be glad that he is sparing and he's merciful. And be glad for the marriage supper of the Lamb. For the soon return of Jesus Christ for you and for me. Let's be glad. Oh, my friend, let's be happy. Happy is the people who's in such a case. Yea, happy is the people whose God is the Lord. Are you a Christian? Then why not be a happy Christian? Why not be a glad Christian? We sing every Sunday night before we close our service. It's a grand thing to be a Christian. It's the best thing I know. That's not just a song we sing. That's something we believe in around here. We ought to be glad in what the Lord has done for us. So let's be glad, all right? Have a wonderful Tuesday, everybody. I look forward to being with you again on our broadcast tomorrow. And I'll talk a little bit about this phrase. You know, you hear somebody say, boy, that really rocked my boat. Well, what happens and why would God rock our boat? And we'll look forward to talking about tomorrow. And of course, Wednesday will be church night. And we'll say more about the midweek service and a special speaker we have in our service tomorrow night. All right. So have a wonderful Tuesday, everyone. And until tomorrow, this is Brother Slayball reminding you, be good to everyone because everyone's having a tough time.
Thank you for listening today. If this broadcast was an encouragement to you, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us by email at pastor@bbcgrovecity.org, or you can call us at area code 614-875-2190. We invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church at 2758 Home Road in Grove City, Ohio. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for the morning worship service. We meet back together at 5:30 for our evening service and on Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. We also host the RU Recovery Ministry, a faith-based recovery program bringing transformation to hurting people in our community. We meet every Friday at 7 o'clock in the evening. You can find more information at our website about this and other ministries of Bible Baptist Church at bbcgrovecity.org. We hope that today these were truly words to encourage. Words to Encourage is paid for by the generous members and supporters of the Bible Baptist Church in Grove City, Ohio.